Well, if you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, we'll be looking at this passage in particular. I wonder how many of you made it on holiday this past summer. If you did, then I'm sure you made plans, lots of plans, and you prepared yourself so that you could go on that holiday and enjoy the holiday. Unfortunately, many have experienced great disappointment over these past couple of years, haven't they? Where they've made plans, they've got excited about going on holiday, and then those plans have been scuppered. Their holidays have been cancelled, and they couldn't go. They were prepared, but it never happened. Unfortunately, often things we expect to happen don't happen, do they? We get prepared for something, but it never comes to pass. I was just thinking of the young people who, over the last couple of years, prepared for their exams, GCSEs, A-levels. They put in all the work, they prepared themselves, and yet it didn't happen. There was great disappointment. But if you knew something like that was coming and you didn't prepare yourself, you would be a fool, wouldn't you? It would be foolish for any young person to have an exam coming up and not prepare yourself. It would be foolish to look towards your retirement and not to make provisions to be prepared. No, though sometimes those things don't come to pass, they're not 100% guaranteed, we all seek to be prepared. But this passage before us is speaking about something that is 100% certain to come to pass. It's something that we are taught in the scriptures, taught in God's word. Jesus teaches himself that it is a certainty, and that is his second coming. That is the Lord Jesus coming in glory and power to judge the nations. That he's going to bring every single individual to stand before him to be judged. Here Jesus speaks very clearly and plainly about two distinct groups. Just two groups. Very clear, distinct groups. Later on, he'll go on to speak about the sheep and the goats and how they will be separated. Two distinct groups. And here in this parable, we have two groups. We have the wise virgins or young ladies, and we have the foolish ones. Those who were prepared and those who were not. These words in Matthew 25, these few parables, come at the close of what we often call the Olivet Discourse. And that is when he is speaking to his disciples, teaching them about the times to come. There is some teaching that was immediately relevant for them. The destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, when the wrath of God was going to be poured out, and the nation state of Israel would be no more. The Jews had rejected their Messiah, and they were finally judged. And that was going to be a great calamitous event. Josephus teaches us and speaks in the history books about a great bloodshed, a great overthrow of the Romans of the Jewish capital, and there were countless numbers of Jews slaughtered. The temple was razed to the ground, and they were never to be the same nation state ever again, with a king of the Davidic line under God. But also Jesus speaks about the final judgment. There is teaching about the the coming of God's wrath in AD 70, but also of the second coming. And the scriptures attest this a great deal. Jesus is coming back. In Acts 1:9-11, we have the account of the disciples gazing up into the heavens when Jesus was taken up into the clouds and ascended. And an angel came and spoke to them and said, "This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go up into heaven." Jesus is coming again into this world. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, we read clearly that Jesus will come with a great shout and a trumpet call, and his people will be gathered to him. And there are many more accounts in his word about the surety, the certainty of Jesus coming again. In Matthew 24, in just a chapter before, in 36 to 39, Jesus uses the illustration of the flood. Remember the flood in Genesis when Noah was saved along with his household. There was a great delay between God speaking to Noah and the flood coming. And in that time, Noah was speaking. He was preaching righteousness. He was urging people to be saved. He was urging people to come to repentance before God. There was an opportunity. There was a delay. Matthew 24:48, there's another parable, and the evil servant, if you just glance up, he's speaking about a servant, the faithful servant, an evil servant, who when the master goes away, delays coming. And in 48, "But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards," and then it goes on, "then he will be judged." But there is a delay. Though Jesus is coming, we are taught of a delay. And here in this passage, in chapter 25, we read of delay of the Lord Jesus Christ coming. There's a delay of the bridegroom coming that night. And there is a delay in the next parable as well, in verse 19. "After a long time, the Lord came to settle accounts with them." You may think that because Jesus has not come yet, then he is not coming at all. The scriptures must be mistaken. I must be mistaken for preaching this to you, but there is a delay, and there's a clear teaching that there is a delay. And though there was a delay in every instance in these parables, and with Noah, Jesus came in judgment. 2 Peter 3:8-10 says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." There will be a delay, but he will come suddenly. He's being long-suffering towards you, but that doesn't change the certainty. And with the certainty of his second coming on his mind, Jesus is seeking to urge his people, and urge the people who will read this word, about being prepared. He's saying, "I am coming, it is certain, and you must be prepared." And so then he speaks this parable. And so I could entitle this sermon, Are You Prepared? Are you prepared? So what story we have here? The story is about some young ladies. These young ladies, virgins, were ladies of marital age who would have been close companions with the bride. And it was custom for these, or some of these young ladies, to go out to meet the groom as they come to the house where the bride is, so that the wedding could take place. And this procession often happened at night. It was, as it were, an ancient firework display when this procession happened. There would be great dancing and singing and joy, and there would be torches aflame held by these young ladies, and it would have been a great spectacular display as they danced, accompanying the groom, lighting the way, bringing them to the bride. But these virgins, these young ladies, were outside, and it seems that there was a delay in the bridegroom coming. Now, a wedding is a serious event, isn't it? And you want to be prepared yourself. No doubt that there would have been often times that the bridegroom had final matters to attend to, maybe sorting the dowry out, and there was a delay in seeking the money. Whatever reason, we don't know what the reason was, but there was a delay. And these young girls fell asleep. It got very late, and they perhaps thought, maybe he's not coming tonight, maybe he'll come in the morning. But then, all of a sudden, someone shouted, maybe one of the groomsmen shouted, "He's coming, come out to meet him so that you can go with him into the house, that you can have this lighted procession with him. Do your job, do your duty, go out to meet him." Now, some of them, we read, were wise. They took oil for their lamps. Now, there's a bit of a debate whether this was like an oil lamp or if it was a torch. You know, you've seen in the movies those torches where there would be rags wrapped around a stick, and they would be soaked in oil and they would be set ablaze. There's some thought to say that's the correct rendering, that this lamps, this word for lamp, should be rendered torch, because they were more suited to being outside and to providing great light. But those lamps would not last long without being replenished with oil. Those torches would soon go out, maybe 15, 20 minutes or so, and they would need an extra portion of oil to douse them again. Some of them were prepared. They thought, well, there could be a delay. We need to be ready. We need to have the oil. Whenever he comes, whether he's delayed or comes straight away, we need to be ready for the groom to come so that we can go in with him. But some were complacent. Some thought, well, it doesn't really matter. I'm sure I've got enough. And even if I haven't, I'm sure the others will share. I'm sure things will be okay. You know, the groom knows me. The bride knows me. If for whatever happens, I haven't got enough, I'm sure it will be okay. But sadly, if they didn't have light, there would be no room for them. There would be no place for them in a light procession. It'd be absolutely pointless, wouldn't it? If you were there with a torch that had gone out when they were supposed to be providing the light for the way. And so it is with us. Those who follow him in Matthew 14 tells us that we are the light of the world. And if we have no light, then there is no entrance into the kingdom. If we are not found glowing, having that oil, having that light when Christ comes again, there will be no entrance. We need the light. We need to be lights in this dark world. We need to be prepared. And that's exactly what we notice in this parable. Five of the girls were not ready. They all looked like bridesmaids, we might add. The other bridesmaids didn't think anything of them. They were just there with them, getting ready. As far as they knew, they were all ready. But five of them were not ready. They had the clothing of the wedding on. They were close with the bride and the bridesmaids. Yet they hadn't made preparation. They were not ready. And when the five foolish girls realized that their lamps were going out and they needed more oil, they asked the wise ones, "Please, can I have some of your oil?" Now, these wise girls weren't being selfish, weren't being horrible to these unwise girls. They just knew that they needed the oil for themselves. They couldn't share. They didn't have enough. There wasn't the opportunity to share. It needed to be obtained for themselves. So they did the right thing, didn't they? They exalted them. They told them, go and get it for yourself whilst there still may be time. Just so that you can join in with us and go into the wedding. Sadly, when they went to seek after oil, the groom came and it was too late. The door was shut and there was no opportunity for them to come in. Though they cried out, "Lord, Lord," great respect and a desire to enter in, the groom says, "I don't know you." There was a disrespect if you were invited to a wedding but don't make preparations. It's a great disrespect to the bride and groom, isn't it? If you come with your ripped jeans and t-shirt on, it disrespects them. You've not made the preparations. You've not taken it seriously. And so it is here. He knew of these people, but he didn't know them with that relationship anymore. And they were not allowed in. And so what does that mean for us today? So what? What on earth is Jesus speaking about to me today in the 21st century? Well, I have 3 points. Firstly, we need oil and we need to obtain it for ourselves. Maybe a subheading, we need to be prepared. And that's the emphasis of this sermon. Secondly, the peril of resting in anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. Subheading, the danger of thinking you're prepared when you're not. And the final heading, the judgment is final. So we need oil and we need to obtain it for ourselves. There seems to be a very, very clear emphasis in this parable of the preparation that each individual needs to make for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The thing they needed was oil. The thing we need before we come and stand before a holy God, as Ellie said, is to be saved, our sins forgiven, and all that entails. Repentance, faith, the grace of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This oil signifies it all. We see in this great picture the groom being Christ coming into his world, coming to that final wedding. And the bridesmaids, those who should enter in. There's more needed than just looking the part, isn't there? There are many, many people in this world today that look the part. There may be many people in this room that look the part. The people outside would say, "Oh, they're very good people. Very moral people. They're really lovely people to know. They go to church. They seek to do good. And yet, outwardly, they look good. Outwardly, they look prepared. But inwardly, they're not prepared. All of these girls look like bridesmaids. But only five were ready. Notice the time when Jesus was speaking. He was speaking to the disciples in chapter 24, right at the beginning. We read now in verse 3, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be?'" The disciples came together. This was before the betrayal of Judas. Judas was with them. And no doubt Judas was on the Lord's heart and mind when speaking this. There was someone in their group that looked the part. All the other disciples were oblivious to his heart condition. Maybe he'd even gone out and performed miracles in Jesus' name. And yet his heart was not ready. He didn't truly love the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't truly sorry for his sin. He thought he was okay. He didn't think he needed Jesus. There are some people that manage to gate crash parties, aren't there? There's films about it, and maybe we see it every now and then in the newspaper. But if someone tried to gate crash Prince William and Kate's wedding, what would have been the consequences? Well, there would quite possibly have been, well, you would certainly have been kicked out. You wouldn't have been allowed to stay, would you? And there possibly would have been even greater consequences than that. You may have to go to court even. There are consequences. There's more that is needed than looking the part. We need the oil. But the second point in this is that we need to obtain it for ourselves. It's no good relying on the fact that mum and dad are Christians. It's no good relying on the fact that your spouse is a Christian. There's no good relying in anything apart from repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ yourself. There is no opportunity for you sharing in the salvation of anyone else. Each will stand before God alone. My friend, you're not going to be standing there with your mum and dad to protect you on that day, to intercede for you that day. You're not going to be standing there with your husband or wife to stand between you and God on that day. You'll be standing there alone, in your own right. And you, personally, need to be prepared. Verse 8. "And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.'" Now, salvation, as we know from Scripture, cannot be purchased. It is a gift. But we do need to be diligent in seeking the Lord. We are taught to seek him whilst he may be found. We are to call upon him to save us. We are to be persistent in reading his word and bowing our hearts and heads in prayer that he may forgive us, that we may enter into salvation. But you say to yourself, why? Why do I need to go through all that trouble? I know so much about Jesus. I'm pretty good. I try to obey his commands. I live a good life. But that is not enough. Like Judas, it was not enough. Like these foolish virgins, it was not enough to look the part. It was not enough to even be very, very close to the church, or even from the outside world, or even from the church's eyes, look like your part. No, what matters is that you have come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ yourself. We could put it this way. Each one of you, no matter how old you are, needs to actually eat and drink for yourself to live. Your parents can lead you to the food, can lay it out before you, but you need to eat it. And so it is your parents. This church can lay before you, show you your need, show you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, lay it out before you. But you personally need to enter in. You personally need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So secondly then, the peril of resting in anything other than Christ. The danger of thinking that you are ready when you're not. We notice in verse 5 that they all slumbered and slept. Now there's a wonderful peace that is afforded to those who have truly come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A wonderful assurance that is there for those who truly know the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes that assurance wanes, but there is a wonderful assurance that is there for those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see these five wise virgins knowing that they are prepared whenever he should come, and they rest. They sleep, knowing that whenever that trumpet call, whenever that call came to say that the groom is coming, they're ready. They could rest. But there was five who were also resting. Why were they resting? They weren't prepared. Well, it's because they thought they were prepared. They were resting in something that was not good enough. Sleeping often has a negative connotation in the Word of God, isn't it? We're exhorted as Christians to be alert, to be awake, to be waiting and watching. Indeed, at the end, in verse 13, we are called to watch because we do not know the hour or day. But this watch is the watchfulness of being prepared in this parable. He's saying, you don't know when the Lord is coming, so be prepared. Be constantly prepared. When the Ofsted comes, they come unannounced sometimes, don't they? I know when I was in the motor trade, MOT testing, the DVSA would just turn up unannounced. How could I be prepared for that? Well, it's to be prepared every day. And that's what Jesus is speaking about. Watch, be prepared. And if you are prepared, there is a wonderful assurance. It reminds me of Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, who was given the scroll of assurance because he knew his sins forgiven. And all the time he had that scroll of assurance, he could rest, couldn't he? He was assured. He knew that it was sure. But like I say, there's five here that were resting in something else. They were resting in self-confidence. They all slept. The five foolish girls slept as soundly and peacefully as the five wise. And sadly, there are many. And I believe there are many, even in this congregation today, that are in that exact same position. And I would say, wake up, because you are not ready. You're not ready. You are slumbering, you are sleeping, because you think you'll be okay. You are not being diligent. These girls were sleeping when they should be outside, out searching for the oil, purchasing the oil. But they weren't doing that, were they? They weren't getting prepared. They were asleep. And sadly, there are many in this world and today here that just don't care. You think if Jesus comes again, well, you know, I'm not that bad. Many people strive strive to be good enough through religion, through good works, through keeping the law. They don't think they're very bad. They think that they will be okay when the groom comes. But in fact, there will be a time when it's too late. Go. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to him. Ask him for forgiveness. Ask him for that oil of salvation, that you might be ready when he comes. Because one day there will be a shout that goes up and says, "Behold, he comes." And then it will be too late. We read that the nations of the world, people of this world, will be panicked. They'll be absolutely terrified. They'll be calling upon the rocks to cover them, because the time had gone. And that brings me to my third and final point, the finality of Christ's judgment. The finality of Christ's judgment. When the door is shut, it will remain shut. There is no purgatory. There is no second opportunity. When you die, or when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, that is it. The door of opportunity to be prepared has gone. We don't know when that will be. As I say, Debbie's uncle passed away suddenly, just like that. Gone, driven many miles to look at buying a new car. Gone. Snatched from this world. His opportunity was gone. And that could happen to any one of us. Indeed, we don't, even if you're fit and well, the Lord might come tonight. We just don't know. And when he comes, that'll be it. He'll enter into his kingdom, shut the door, and no matter how much you pound upon that door, saying, "Lord, Lord, please let me in," it will be too late. Just think of those people at the time of Noah. They'd had great opportunity to repent and turn back to God. And yet when God slammed that door shut and the rains started coming down, no matter how much they pounded upon that door, it was too late. And that's the selfsame picture that we have here. Hebrews 9:27 tells us that it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. My friends, you need to be prepared. That's what Jesus is trying to teach from this parable. Be prepared. Any moment, it could be too late. But the amazing thing is that that passage in Hebrews 9:27 doesn't finish like that. It doesn't just say it is appointed for men once to die, but after that the judgment finished. It goes on to say, "So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation." There is yet opportunity. And that's the wonderful thing about this, isn't it? That whilst there is still time, Jesus takes the opportunity to warn. To warn. To warn that he is coming again. To warn that each and every one of you will stand before him. And you've heard it once more today. One more time you have the opportunity. You've heard the gospel. That you need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way, the only door by which we must be saved, by where we can come in and come and stand before God. He's given us opportunity. This message seems to be quite negative, doesn't it? But in the negativity, there is positivity, because he's telling you whilst there is still time. But time is short. So take the opportunity. Come to him. And brothers and sisters, the finality of the judgment of Christ is a wonderful thing, isn't it, for you, for me? We read here that, and while they went, verse 10, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. The door was shut. There was no opportunity for them being plucked out. There was no opportunity for sin to enter in. And this is the picture that we have of the new heavens and the new earth. Once we enter into glory with Christ, there will be no more opportunity. No more opportunity for sin to enter in. There is no opportunity for Satan to snatch you away. You will be there forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. But for you who are outside, that's a bad thing, isn't it? They were knocking on the door and they could not enter in. So I say again, be prepared. Be prepared. Let me conclude with just a few notes. The Lord Jesus Christ is telling us in this passage and throughout the Gospels to come to me for what you need. Come to me for the oil. Be prepared. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Examine your hearts. I cannot do it for you. The church cannot do it for you. Examine your own hearts to see if you are truly prepared. As I say just earlier, in our normal experience, we each need food to eat. And the Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, speaks to us in that very way. Isaiah 55, he says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live." And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you this morning. Come to me. Without money, you can't purchase it, no matter what you do. But come to me. It is a gift. But you must come. Repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. You will be prepared. And for us believers, there is a note here for us, just finally as we close. We are exhorted to watch, aren't we? To watch in verse 13. To be prepared. But we need to be about being prepared. Daily, setting our heart ablaze. Being sure that we are Christ's. Following him as we should. That when he comes, he might find believers, that he might find righteousness, that he might find light in this dark world. And we must strive, persevere to the end, to have the light proclaiming the way to salvation.